When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
Welcome into the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live inside ESPN Bet at La Berge in Lake Charles. NFL action already underway as the Bears
go
are playing
Bears.
The Jags. Go Bears. Dub Bears.
Go Bears.
I think we all got action on
Bear
the Bears
down.
Right now. Bear down. Claw. Claw.
I don't.
Sean, you also have action?
No.
I know I got action.
I don't
Joe's
have action. I'm just a supportive friend.
Miss.
I'm just
Thanks.
A supportive friend.
Joe,
you.
Joe always has action on the Bears.
Yeah.
It's in his
emotional
soul.
Action.
Yeah, emotional action
yeah,
on the Bears.
Maybe depressional action. Yeah. Half the time.
Seasonal depressional
yes.
action.
Which is just fall for me. Notre Dame and
Hey,
Chicago.
Notre Dame beat Stanford
That's
big
true.
Yesterday.
That's true. All right, so we were here yesterday, obviously watching the UTOU, the Red River Shootout rivalry game, whatever. It was a lot of fun to be here inside the sports book, but we got to talk about the Texans today. Matt Holland from the sports book will join us in about 30 minutes. Pedro Muniz will join us at 11:30, talking about what they got going on here at La Berge and ESPN Bet coming up for in the near future and for Halloween, which I guess is the near future. It's in like 2 weeks, but the Texans game today. They play Drake May. We know that Joe Mixon's playing. It was reported that last night. Aaron Wilson, Schefter, they all had it, but Nico Collins out. For at least the next four games. How are you guys feeling about today's game? This is an interesting one because it feels like they should crush Drake May, but they don't crush anyone.
No. I mean, every game's been a one possession game so far, right?
Except for the Vikings game.
I'm sorry. The four wins.
Yeah.
The four wins have all been by one possession.
Like
I don't
four
know.
Four possessions.
The line, last time I checked, was still 6.5. I know Matt told me before we went on he's going to take the Texans on that. I think the Texans are going to win, but obviously no Nico. You're on the road. Patriots defense isn't terrible. It's supposed to be a little rainy. I don't know if we're going to get the blowout style points victory that Texans fans have been waiting for this year. And I don't know how Texans fans as a whole are going to handle that. I do think the Texans win, but if you're expecting it to look pretty, if you're expecting Tank and Diggs to go off and Stroud to play perfectly, I don't know if that's going to be this game. I think it's an ugly win.
Yeah, I think it's a game that it'll be comfortable for the Texans for the majority of it. It just won't look in the box score
right.
like a huge blowout, which means basically it'll be more of the same from a lot of these
Pretty
games.
Much.
It'll be kind of like the Jags game, even though they did need a late score to win that. But maybe more the better comparison I thought of this week, basically since Drake May got announced the starter, is the Bears game from week two, where it's a rookie quarterback making his first, or in Caleb's case, his second start, behind a brutal offensive line. And this time, Drake May doesn't have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. He has Pop Douglas and another Washington receiver.
Jalen
Polk?
Which one.
Yeah, Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
I forgot if it was McMillan or Polk.
Pop Douglas is a name, though. It's a good name.
Yeah.
It's a good name. It's also, I feel like it's an effective name to be like, the best wide receiver's name is Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
I know what
that's
the score
That's an indictment on the rest
yeah.
of the room. Yes.
I you know what? I get it. I get what point you're making. I feel like I could tell my mom that, and she doesn't know anything about the Patriots
Pop
offense,
Douglas,
and she'd be like, so that's bad, huh?
Pop Douglas feels like the name of a guy you would play basketball against at the rec center.
Pop Douglas, yes, who wears
he wears a knee brace.
Two knee braces and insoles, yeah. Pop Douglas also, but if you said he was like, the best. He won the 1957 Heisman. I'd be like, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Pop yeah. Douglas is
yeah.
great.
Then
in black
Vietnam.
And white.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a. I don't know. We talked about this all week, Sean. Obviously, like
yes,
expectations for this game. Like, yeah, all week. Like, are people going to be satisfied this game? No. Even if they win by 35 points today, people go, well, it's the Patriots.
I think people will be satisfied, but they're not going to gain credit.
Yeah, they're not going to.
They're still going to go, but what happened in the other games? You were playing the Patriots, Drake May, his first time.
Yeah, they'll say, let me see it against a team that's competent.
It'll be the Patriots are the worst team in the NFL. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, there won't be. So all that really matters is, look, you win today's game. It is an important game just because as you chase down –
Every game of the schedule, Joe, is an important
game.
That's
true, but as you know,
in the National Football League,
as you look at conference tiebreakers, you want to win all your AFC games.
We're already looking ahead at conference tiebreakers.
We're going to have head-to-heads with everybody.
Are you guys scared of anyone in the AFC South?
No.
Or are you worried about the conference?
I was on record a few weeks ago.
they'll have a head-to-head against. The
I know
Chiefs,
they will. I know
against
I
know. The Ravens, against the Bills.
Yeah,
it's true. I guess
and the Jets.
I just would be shocked if this game is under the Texans win by less than 10 points in this game.
So it sounds like you're saying you're going to play Texans minus 6.5.
I have a parlay involving that, yes.
Of course it's a parlay. Joe, you got to quit the parlay.
Well, I feel pretty good about the first half of it.
Yeah, and I don't know if he needs to quit parlay. As someone who hit a parlay yesterday, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he
needs to.
Chasing
the dragon?
Yeah, it's fun. I told you.
Ooh, voice crack. I told you yesterday that I was going to learn my lesson. I need to learn my lesson twice.
Okay.
Every time, I need to learn my lesson twice.
Okay.
Yesterday, I hit a parlay. I'm back at zero.
It's just a circle.
Zero days since incident.
Plays parlay, doesn't hit it, says I'll never do it again, hits parlay, I'm back.
Yeah, so
and
bad.
And
I'm hot.
Just repeats.
All I need to see is one go in.
I mean, look, and that's...
Settle down, Chef Curry.
It was funny, like, there was a guy in front of us last night. He had a long parlay. And he was like checking them off throughout the day.
That's dangerous.
And
don't
so,
count. Don't
so he's
count
like
them.
He's like tracking them.
You don't count your money where it's in at
but
the
then
table.
He was. There was one.
Thank you, Kenny Rogers.
There was like two left on the bottom, and he was. You could tell he was stressing. I was trying to like peek over to like
see what they were.
Yeah. See, like,
it wasn't
was
the guy that puked in front of us.
No,
was it?
That did happen last night. R.I.P. to that guy.
Yeah. Shout out to that Tigers fan. Not the only Tiger fan to puke last night. Just
go Tigers.
Just the only one here at LaBerge.
Yeah, he had a rough one. I feel like if he comes in today, we'll notice it. We should give him a round of applause.
I'll salute him.
Just like, welcome back.
He helped his team win.
That's true. Yeah.
He didn't see it.
The Tigers were down when he left. Well, not under his own power, but he left, yes.
He was escorted
out.
Who has the bigger day, you think? Tank or Diggs?
I have Tank anytime touchdown, so Tank.
Ooh.
I thought you had
Diggs. I saw your ticket.
Oh, I have Diggs. I have Diggs anytime touchdown, so Diggs.
Hey Sean, you got to remember which bet.
Yeah,
I do.
I want to say it's Tank because I mean, all offseason, I mean, we heard the story about how he went to management, said draft Tank. They had the connection last year. We saw Stroud go on these offseason podcasts with Micah Parsons. He's building his perfect lineup, and he's got Tank Dell as his perfect slot receiver. So I want to say it's Tank, but, man, Diggs has been so involved, through the first few weeks. He had 10 catches in the Vikings game. He's got multiple games over 6 catches. Though they do have a week 2 game plan, so that'll be the interesting thing, because I think – when you're talking about replacing Nico, Diggs is not the guy that's going to replace what Nico was doing. Not in terms of the box score, but like what they're actually running on the field. I don't think Diggs is going to be running, at age 30, 31, whatever he is going to be running the deep down the field stuff that Nico is. I think that's Tank.
Yep.
So it'll be, if they can hit the deep stuff, I think Tank's going to be that. Like when you look at the rest of the roster, it's not Robert Woods.
Well, he's out, right?
Oh, is he out?
I think he's out.
Oh, okay, well, it's definitely not Robert Woods then. But it's not Diggs. Obviously, it's not John Metchie. I don't think it's Xavier Hutchinson. It's going to be Tank. If they're going to hit the deep shots and give us the pretty offensive performance that I expect, or that we hope they will, I'm not sure if I expect it or not, then it's going to be Tank Dell.
Yeah, I mean –
and Diggs is going to be short and intermediate. So it'll be depending on what type of game. If they're short and intermediate, it's going to be Diggs. If they're hitting deep shots, it's going to be Tank.
Yeah, so right now, so you're going to this game without Kamari Lassiter, without Robert Woods, without Jimmy Ward. D'Angelo Ross is going to be the other corner today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank goodness they're playing Drake May. When Aaron,
should I take Pop Douglas anytime touchdown?
Maybe Jalen Polk.
Houston's own.
Whichever one's not being guarded by Stephon Diggs. I mean,
Stingley.
Yes, that's who I meant. You know
hey,
what I'm saying.
Hey, I'm not going to get on you for a mistake.
We're good, though, okay?
A Diggs-related mistake. I will not be upset about
it. Well, I'm just so, you know, thinking about your anytime Diggs touchdown that, like, I might just have to go bet on it now.
I hope he plays defense, too, gets a pick six.
Hey, no, the next Travis Hunter, Stephon Diggs.
His brother plays corner.
That's true. Not very well, but he plays corner. I mean, he kind of gets torched all the time.
Yeah, okay.
But the one thing that's good about this game is the Patriots have given up over 130 rushing yards each of the last 3 weeks, and Joe Mixon's back today. That's where, like, even
establish
with,
it.
Yeah, all these, Nico out, Woods out, the injuries you have in defense, like, the biggest thing for today's game of why I just would expect it to be kind of easy for the Texans for most of this game is because of Joe Mixon, for me at least.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of the easy button to press against this Patriots defense, especially when you're missing Nico Collins, and for the first or of the six quarters that Joe Mixon played, he was awesome for the first four of them against the Colts, and that's another run defense that, as time went on, it became less and less impressive. But you are playing an unimpressive run defense again today. So, yeah, getting Mixon back, especially for this game where it's the first game without Nico, that's very good timing for the Texans.
Do you expect Joe Mixon to come in week one today and just be right back where he was against the Colts? Not necessarily with the total, you know, on his rushing yards.
I was going to say, probably not 30 carries.
Not 30 carries for 150 yards. But I just mean as far as his overall involvement. Yeah, obviously not 30 carries, but his overall involvement of the offense. I mean, it's tough to say, well, you don't really need Joe Mixon to beat the Patriots, but you don't need to hand the ball to Joe Mixon 25 times to beat the Patriots.
But
so, he's coming off, obviously, the ankle injury. He's an older running back. How much do you really want to?
He's 28.
28's old, Sean.
He was born in 1996.
You're buying lamps. You're old. You bought an end table. You're old.
I haven't bought a lamp yet.
Okay. You're going to buy a lamp. That's an inside thing.
I'm shopping.
But I don't know how much they want to rush Joe Mixon back into full workload when you're playing the Patriots. He's coming off an injury, and you got a full season to worry about with an older running back.
So the one thing I worry about with that line of thinking, though, is while, yes, if you just individually make the point that you don't need Nico Collins to beat the Patriots. You don't need Kamari Lassiter to beat the Patriots. You don't need Joe Mixon to beat the Patriots. Once you are losing so many pieces,
at some point, you need one of them. Yeah.
You need somebody to beat the Patriots. Because, like you said, this is the National Football League. Those guys are pros, too. This is not a Texans team that has been emphatic in any of their wins. So I do think that you don't need, and I don't expect them to use Mixon in the way they used him in week one with 30 carries for 150 yards. But I do expect the 5 yards a carry, like that is something that this Texans offense desperately needs, is a running back that can get that kind of production.
I think we'll see a lot of the Dare Ogunbowale stuff on third down still. Like that's where I think they'll
trust him on third.
Yeah, I
pass
trust
protection.
I mean, like good pass protection. He's been good out of the backfield the last 2 weeks catching the ball.
Yeah.
So like he's been okay at running the ball. Like I know that the numbers like it's
under three a carry last week.
I know, but it looks better than the stats say.
That's Bills, you know.
That's the Bills, you know. They're not.
I don't know why. Team. I don't know why I wanted.
They
to
weren't a good. Run, they so haven't much. Been a good run defense.
But
they figure things out.
I think that's how they. that's how they kind of spell Mixon is like they let Dare be the third down guy.
Man,
maybe a little bit of Cam Akers, but like I just don't think we're gonna see. We're not gonna see all those carries from Mixon. But I still think on first and second down when Bobby Slowick stubbornly wants to run the ball a lot.
The auto runs on first down.
I think Joe Mixon will still be getting those.
Well, he's using the Madden coach suggestion.
Yeah.
And it's just run the ball.
Affect die.
Affect die. Is Bobby Slowick calling the games off of Madden coach suggestions?
Sure.
I think we might have cracked the code there.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Madden coach suggestions would be better.
They throw in a quick slant every
time. I think we might get more in that one. All right, it is the Bullpen broadcasting live from ESPN Bet inside LaBerge Lake Charles. We'll continue getting ready for the Texans game next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Bullpen live from LaBerge Casino Resort continues. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios with Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Bullpen live from ESPN Bet inside LaBerge Lake Charles. Sportsbook starting to open up here, and people starting to get slowly let in as they check their IDs to make sure that they're allowed in. Yeah. For the first time, I saw someone got rejected yesterday.
Oh, really?
From the casino.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the guy that puked over there.
Well, no, like someone because they weren't 21.
Really?
Like, yeah, I didn't even know people would try that at a place like this.
Should we tell the story of when you and I basically just had to show our hair to get into
last night,
waited in line?
Yeah, so last night after the college football day ended, I guess the Kansas State Colorado game, which ended up being kind of crazy.
I was a little bit sweating in my
We decided to go to the casino, and there was a pretty lengthy line, and Sean and I got in line. Brian said, I don't need to. He's like, look at
the gray hair. I'm good.
Good self-scouting.
And then so he just went through. No problem.
Waved along.
I'm sitting there next to Sean, and
thank you.
I was just like, I'm just going to try it. I didn't take my hat off or anything to show my bald-ass head. I just walked through, and they didn't stop me. So
sure didn't. And then
I think it's the jersey more than the hair that was hurting you.
Really?
I feel like the jersey auto makes you look younger. You're younger.
For those that weren't here yesterday, I was wearing a white Texas Arch Manning jersey. So do you think it's the fact it was a college player's jersey?
Yeah.
A college player jersey.
I'm wearing the jersey of someone who's 20.
Yeah, college player jersey. And you, I think the long hair makes you look a little bit younger, as pointed out by our waitress last night.
Yes.
But, so I think it was the combination of the two.
Yes, yes. I didn't ask the casino lady, short hair or long hair. That's something I've been doing.
Have you asked Abigail?
No, I haven't. I haven't shown her my ID either.
Oh, that's true. All right, Monday.
But, yeah, when I'm showing people my ID, and here at LaBerge, they take it seriously. They check for, like, 30 seconds. Brian, you won't know this, but they check for, like, 30 to 45 seconds. They're going back. They scan it. They go back, look at you, look at the card, look at you again. And during that downtime, I'm like, on my ID, I have short hair. And so I just, short hair or long hair, which one do you prefer? And credit to Trinity for keeping it real, because everyone else said long hair, and I thought they were just being nice because I am standing in front of them with long hair.
And like that's what you want them to say?
Yeah, no. I don't care, honestly. But Trinity, our waitress yesterday, said short hair. So
I feel like you should start getting...
That's the backstory.
You should start being offended sometimes.
Gasp.
Just like
regardless of what they say.
Yes. Yeah, no matter what the answer is.
There's no right answer. Yeah. You're offended no matter what.
Yeah. Because like, see
you're
if
better
they,
right now.
Yeah,
in
see
front
if they,
of me.
See if they pivot. Yeah.
Now, no. I mean, you're fine that
how
way.
How dare you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, how old is your license? Is it when you were 16?
No, it's 2019.
Oh, okay. I said, because you definitely look older in your license than you do in your Instagram photo.
No, maybe it's 2020, something like that.
Yeah. The first time I, like, followed Sean on Twitter, and we'll get back into Texans at some point.
Nah.
When I got this job, and I was, like, kind of snooping around and following people from the station, mm-hmm. and I found Sean. And it was this picture from college.
Oh, when you're on the TV set?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I met you. And I was very confused.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not
the because there's no glasses, the hair's short.
Yeah.
He's dressed up in a suit.
That picture is also from 2019, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yes. That picture
it doesn't look like it's from 2019.
Yeah, I was like, this is not the same person that I'm supposed to be meeting.
I could have been convinced that was high school, not college.
That's what I thought it was like freshman year of college, maybe.
No. My last semester.
The Texans.
Oh, Texans, right.
They lose today if what happens?
Drake May is awesome, and the Texans offense isn't operational without Nico Collins, which at stretches kind of look like that.
Yeah, I think the Nico Collins – well, I would combine the Nico Collins part with the offensive line. If the offensive line – who we're all worried because it was three straight games of 10-plus penalties, a lot of those on the offensive line. And then last week they had the clean first half with no penalties in the first half, six in the second half. I think four of those were on the offense, and I thought the hold on Shaq Mason last week was BS. So I don't put a whole lot of blame on them. But if the offensive line regresses back to where they were really hampering the offense, you know, putting them in bad situations, second and long, third and long, plus now – C.J. Stroud doesn't have the Nico Collins bailout because it kind of feels like at times it was, you know, Bobby Slot, Slowick, auto run on first, auto run on second. Hey, it's Stroud to Nico. Let's bail the offense out and keep the ball moving. If they can't do that with Diggs and Tank and the offensive line puts them in bad spots, I think that's a place where the Patriots defense could get to them in bad weather, keep it a low-scoring game, and possibly pull off the upset.
Yeah, I think for me it's really like what everyone else besides Diggs does on offense. Because if Tank Dell is, I don't know, like, are we in anywhere territory where like we feel like a little Damian Pierce vibes on Tank Dell?
Oh.
No. Like second year, like
no,
slump kind of thing? Yeah, no.
I'm struggling with Tank.
I certainly think it's need.
Yeah, because
yeah,
they don't need
quite
him
there.
They don't need him when fully healthy.
Yeah.
When they're fully healthy, you got Joe Mixon, you got Diggs, he's on a one-year deal. You got, obviously, Nico's your alpha. I just think they view Tank as kind of an extra piece. He's extra to the offense, not critical on a down-to-down basis.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. It's more like just as the season goes on, like obviously like you always think a little bit about the future. It's like, okay, so Diggs doesn't come back, obviously.
Probably not.
Unless he really wants to be here and take a lesser deal.
It had to be team-friendly, yeah.
But, like, I'm starting to wonder about Tank as, like, the number two guy next to Nico.
I mean, we have to remember this was a guy that was on pace for
over
1,000 yards. He had 7 touchdowns in 11 games. I still think Tank, I mean, there's a reason. Look, obviously, Stroud talked really highly about Nico Collins, called him the modern-day Andre Johnson. But like we talked in the last segment, when Stroud was making the podcast circuit, talking with guys like Micah Parsons, he was all the NFL. He could pick 3 wide receivers, and he put Tank on his list.
Yeah,
I mean that's he loves Tank. He told the team to draft him. You know he wants to get involved. I fully expect when Diggs is gone, Tank goes back to a 1,000, 7-8 touchdown type receiver.
Shouldn't he have picked Collins?
If you're going to call him Andre Johnson,
pick the wrong Texans wide receiver.
It's almost at this point, like just with CJ, it's just like, who's he going to gas up that day? Because like he loves to talk about his guys in a very, very positive way. So
absolutely,
it just depends on which podcast he's doing, or who he's going to pump up the most.
Is he sitting next to Tank Dell on this podcast
right
now?
That's true. Well, he wasn't there for the Micah Parsons.
He wasn't there. He was for the $1 million game one, but
dollars.
I said what I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You saw me get right past security, right? The gray hair, I have to say dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, you don't have to.
I don't know. I feel like when you cross 40, the dollars with the Z, you're done.
To be fair, they're both in, like, their 50s, those two guys.
Are they?
Wallow and Gilly.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're old.
I didn't check their ID.
Well, I think one of them was in jail for like 15 years, I think. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure like they're not young. Yeah. They're not young guys. And this is such
a weird turn.
I know. This is such a weird game today for the Texans because like I just like almost have like no interest in this game.
Is it in part because the last time we were here watching the Texans, they were getting their ass kicked by the Vikings?
No, I don't. I haven't. Does
that have any place in the back of your head?
I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it.
Oh, my bad.
I think it's more the Patriots side. Like, they're not good. They're boring.
And it's a guy we've never seen before.
Yeah.
It feels like it's hard to make this case because none of their wins have been double digits, but it's just hard to see the scenario where they lose this game. It really is. I mean, the wide receivers for the Patriots are mid. They're wide receiver 2s and 3s on basically any competent team. Drake May in his first start. They're down their number one running back. I don't know. This would be, if you were ranking, if you were Mount Rushmore plus one, most disappointing Texans losses. If they lost today, this would go down, I think, on that Mount Rushmore plus
no,
one.
Yeah, no, we're doing same old Texans talk next week.
Oh, 100%. We're doing fraud talk.
We might be in Alex Bregman offseason talk if the Texans lost this game. I just saw this pop up from ESPN Bet. They're doing an odds boost today, +500 parlay. Not a parlay. Combined catches for Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin. The number is 21, +500.
Diggs, Godwin, and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, total.
What's 21? That, 7 per?
Yeah. You think Diggs, I mean, you figure Diggs might get like 10 at least.
Yeah, but Cooper's playing the Eagles. I don't know if I love that. I mean, it doesn't really matter who they're playing. He has Deshaun Watson. That's kind of, the opponent is.
That's limiting.
The opponent is Deshaun Watson.
That's limiting, I would
say. Yeah. The opponent's not the Eagles. It's number 4.
Yeah. and Godwin.
Godwin I like because you got to figure with the history between Mike Evans facing Marshawn Lattimore that Godwin. Okay,
I forgot about that history.
But I mean,
I love that history.
Yeah, Lattimore, if you haven't seen it, Lattimore and Mike Evans hate each other. Yep. They're going head to head.
They basically get in a fight every time.
Play. And Lattimore
smothers
with few exceptions, if any exception, absolutely crushes Mike Evans every time. There might have like two catches.
There might have been a good game with Brady.
Maybe.
I remember
there was one game a couple years ago where Evans caught a touchdown, but it was like two catches for 3 yards. Yeah. He happened to catch a touchdown. But, yeah, I think Godwin and Diggs could get you most of the way there, but I'm not feeling Amari Cooper.
Joe Flacco will be starting at quarterback today for the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson, who practiced all week, will serve as the emergency number 3 quarterback.
Fire up your Colts wide receivers.
I don't know who their backup is if he's number 3. Apparently, he just wasn't.
Sam Ehlinger.
Oh, is he still? He's still there.
Yeah,
hook him.
He's not in the XFL yet.
No, he's a preseason legend.
I mean, I'm ready to get a Sam Ehlinger Houston Roughnecks jersey.
Like, I would also buy that. Actually, might not have to buy it. I think we could just ask.
And they'd be like, hey, you want to promote us by wearing this jersey?
I'll wear it on the show every Friday.
All right. It is the Bullpen Broadcasting Live inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge, Lake Charles. We're joined by Matt Holland from the Sportsbook here next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Bullpen live from LaBerge Casino Resort continues. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios with Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
The Bullpen broadcasting live inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge Lake Charles. Matt Holland, Assistant Sportsbook GM, joins us now. What's up, man? How are you?
Another beautiful Sunday. Ready to go.
So these London games, what's your feel like on betting on them in general, is that a stay away from you when you see it? Because it's 8:30, the travel stuff's all weird. What's your view on the London games?
Tread lightly. I think there's value in any game if you look in the right spots. But for the most part, teams play a little bit poorly. Like, it's one of those weird things. I think this week is one of those poor performance type games from both teams, whereas I think next week with Jacksonville being there a second week, I would expect better numbers out of Jacksonville. So just like anything in sports betting, pick your spots.
Yeah, that's the only thing I like about the London games from like a handicapping perspective is the second Jaguars game there, where that feels like more of a true home game because they're there a little bit longer. They're more, and now at this point they're probably used to it. They're used to the travel.
Yeah.
Most of the guys on the team. So that's the only ad. But like you said, the first one, I just.
Yeah. You have a rooting interest in it, obviously. So, I mean, you have a better feel for the Bears and everything else like that. But as far as, like, when I saw that game being played, I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I stay away completely from London games. It's one of the, I mean, when they first started, it's, you know, for a couple years, it was like the unders were like a lock every single time. And then that started to change a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
for years they didn't have the travel down.
Yeah.
And so bad planning, bad management, and the players are all out of sorts whenever the game's being played. So, I mean, they've gotten better at it over the years. And it seems more in line with, like, general over-under spreads for regular games.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's fun. I'm curious what the NFL does next. I know they're talking about Ireland and France and all these different places where they can go, but I saw
the thing where Goodell has opened up the window for the Super Bowl to be played in another country.
That would
be
crazy.
And I heard that, and I was like, I think we're going a step too far. That needs to stay home.
It's one thing to have Jags-Bears in Week 6. That's another thing to have the Super Bowl played in London. Yeah,
that's a little bit much.
Everyone having to travel, like, I know no one cares about all the media having to travel for that and stuff.
Well,
that's
a big thing.
That's crazy, yeah.
I mean, that's part of the Super Bowl hype is the media circus that goes along with it for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And that's all. And a lot of the Super Bowl is all corporate. So you're almost outsourcing all those, the corporate deals and everything else that goes along with it. I just feel like it's a logistical nightmare. I'd just rather keep that game here.
Yeah, I know they're talking about that stuff. Even, like, I don't know if you watch wrestling at all, but they've talked about, like, WrestleMania going overseas as well. And I'm like, why? Like,
no.
I don't need that. I don't even like when stuff's on the West Coast because it starts at 9 o'clock. Like, I don't want to be going to the other.
Your East Coast bias is showing right now.
Yeah. No. When you look at what was last weekend like? When you get 5 upsets in college football.
It was fun.
Yeah, like it's got to be like chaos in here when something like that's going on.
We talked a little bit off air, and it was actually kind of a bad weekend for the book because a lot of our college players are always playing the dogs. But from a sheer entertainment standpoint, it was fantastic. It was just cool because nobody is actively rooting for Vanderbilt as much as they're actively rooting against Alabama.
Especially in this room.
It kind of coincides with like March Madness. Whenever you have that one window where a 10, you know, a 10's beating a 7, a 2 is on the ropes, a 3 is on the ropes, everybody starts unanimously just kind of rooting for the underdog. And it just kind of felt like the entire day it just kept going. Now, if Miami had somehow, if Cal had held on against Miami, that'd have been true, just pure chaos. But in that type of environment, it's fun. Especially when it's none of the local teams are involved in that chaos. Because I guarantee if LSU was playing that week, they would have found a way to be firmly in the midst of like, okay, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, thank God they were off.
It was a bye week. I was very grateful for the bye week.
Texas was also on a bye week.
Yes.
The biggest bye week win of all time.
100% it was.
When you look at the games today, anything stand out for you in today's games?
I like the Texans and the Patriots. It's gone back up to 7, so I like it a little bit less. When I was browsing this morning, it was still at 6.5. Rookie quarterback, I think, it's a boost for the Patriots. But at the same time, no Stevenson. I think they're going to be a little bit on the one-dimensional side, and I just think that D'Amico is just going to dial it up and just be really aggressive on the defensive side. Just tell Stroud not to make a whole lot of mistakes, which he generally doesn't. Don't get too creative. Let's just get through this game. I could see 10, 14-point cover pretty easily. That being said, I know from a book's perspective, we're going to be all about the Patriots. Please get there.
Well, the Texans are what? They're 1-4 this year against the spread.
Yeah,
and so like they unless except for last week when it was a point, they don't cover at this point in the season.
Well, we talked about that on one of our previous visits. How I think that there's going to be a market correction. I think that if you were a Texans better last year, you did exceptionally well because I think they were really undervalued. I think that they are probably properly valued. And if you're getting the number, or if you're betting the Texans, generally you're getting the worst end of the number.
Yeah, is there anything to like the long term of a team that doesn't cover the spread ever? And is that like a characteristic of a team, or does that say more about how the team is perceived?
I don't think it's necessarily team perception. I think that's if you look at the numbers and what the traders set the numbers at. I just think it kind of. You got to commend them. They can set a good number. And obviously the dialogue after a game is, why can't this team cover? It's not ultimately about cover. It's about winning or losing. Yeah. But being able to so accurately pinpoint the number, it's pretty ridiculous. I'm wearing a Ja'Marr Chase jersey. My Bengals are 1-4. It's 5-1 possession games. Mm-hmm. And the number has been there almost on point every single time. And you just... Occasionally, they make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I think that talking about like perception about teams covering against the spread, not against the spread, there's some metrics there, but I just think it's a lot of like commentary. The number is what it is, and it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
The Bengals have one of the best offenses in the NFL this year. Are you having any thoughts on still looking at like their playoff odds right now? Because they're not out of it. I know they're 1-4, but it feels like they're not out of it.
I know they're 1-4, but like, so they're not.
But this offense is so good; it just feels like
it's
they can
one possession game. So
they
can
exactly.
Close,
they
so,
can just go on a massive run.
If you listen to a lot of like the dialogue about teams, like they're talking about the worst teams in the league, draft spots, and everything else. The one team that's technically at the bottom that nobody is talking about is the Bengals.
Yeah, they're like the number 2 pick in the draft as of this.
Yeah, moment. And I'm seeing mock drafts with the Bengals at number 2, and I mean, I'm just kind of like, that's not happening, and. Do I think that will make the playoffs? I mean, we've set ourselves up for failure. If we beat the Patriots in week 1, 2, and 3, not sky is gray, doom and gloom, and everything else like that. I can stomach a loss to Kansas City. I can stomach a loss to Baltimore. And it turns out Washington might be really, really, really good.
They might win the division.
But they still, if they can get through the Giants today, I still think they're going to play Cleveland twice. They're going to get Pittsburgh twice, which isn't going to be a pushover. But if you're talking about an offensive versus defensive team, I trust the Bengals to put up more points. I think they're looking like a 7 or 6 seed. Do I think they can win the division? Probably not at this point. I'm not closing the door on it yet, but I'm not as optimistic as I was in week 2.
Anything that stands out from the, like when you see like a quarterback change like we're seeing today with Aiden O'Connell stepping in at quarterback for the Raiders, like is that a stay away in general when a team changes quarterbacks? Do you bet on those games? Do you? I want nothing to do with this.
So, like the Patriots game. So yeah. That's a quarterback change that I think that. I think it's better for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I still think the Texans are a better team. At this point with the Raiders, I think they're just experimenting and just trying to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. The problem is I think the Pittsburgh is a better run team organization, and they're going to complicate things. I mean, this kid's going to be coming in. I'm not sure how many starts he's had. If this is his first, it's not.
He had a handful last year.
Yeah, it's putting them against the Steelers, is just a bad idea. Kind of like Patriots should have started Drake May last week as opposed to this week.
Yep.
I don't want them going against a fortified defense that knows what they're doing, has an identity.
Is the most interesting game for you, and maybe from either a book perspective or just an NFL fan perspective, is it Baltimore or Washington?
Yes, and that to me is a betting stay away. That anytime I see an over-under in the 50s, I always kind of hesitant.
Don't worry, I already took the over.
You already took the over? Okay, because
I jumped on that grenade for you.
I appreciate that. My instinct is actually the exact opposite because, once again, you have a rookie quarterback. Now, Washington has played exceptionally well. Daniels has been awesome. He deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Granted, it's early in the season. This is probably the first real defense he has played. Now, Baltimore is weak in the secondary. I do expect him to throw the ball a little bit more, but Washington has given up points. Baltimore is going to put up points. I think that Baltimore has a defensive line and defensive personality that can get in Daniel's face a little bit. But it's going to be an entertaining game. It's actually my must-see game of the week.
Yes, yes. To me, it is the big play potential on both teams.
Yep.
That is what my thought. I don't think it will be, like, if you just look at how on schedule the offenses are, it's not going to be like, yeah, these are two teams that are going to score 30 points. It's the, oh, my God, they just had a 60-yard touchdown and then gave up a 60-yard run to Derrick Henry, and then now they hit McLaurin on a long. Like, I think it's going to be more
I think there is going to be an element of one-upsmanship against Lamar and Jaden. I think they can go toe-to-toe, and, I mean, Jaden's a running quarterback as well. He just hasn't had to do it as much as of right now. I think there's big play potentials on both.
Yeah.
I just ultimately think that Baltimore and it's a big number for a reason.
Yeah, so. I was surprised when I saw it. I mean, like, it's just so weird. You have a 4-1 team and they're 6.5-point dogs. I was just like,
most of the time, whenever you see that number, yeah, that should tell you something. I think the classic example was TCU and Georgia in the national championship game.
Yeah. They're like 20.
I told my boss, I was like, yeah, Georgia probably opened up as a 13-point favorite, and they was like 20 at first, and I was like, oh. So we need to go ahead and jump on Georgia now because this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And would it surprise me if Washington kept it close or anything else like that? No, but I think Baltimore's the better team. Now, down the road, maybe we get a little bit better. Something good just happened? I can't see.
Yeah, Keenan Allen touchdown again.
Nice.
You know, hey, look, 4 touchdowns today for Caleb Williams. That makes me feel a little bit better so far about what we've been dealing with this season.
And I also, him saying that Washington's going to be a better team down the road makes me feel good about my.
No, you have that division bet. I like it.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this guy. He comes up all the time because he obviously used to play in Houston. But the Cleveland Browns quarterback, so obviously you're very familiar with the Browns, being a Bengals fan.
Him, yes.
Do you enjoy the downfall of Deshaun Watson?
I enjoy the downfall of it, I think, is, you know, a little bit personal or anything else like that. I mean, I actually don't have anything negative against the Browns organization.
Okay.
If you were to say something about the Steelers organizations, that's an off-air conversation.
So that's
your
number one team that you don't like?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And that's the team I would probably badmouth the most. I think I'm more upset with the Browns putting up all the guaranteed money. And it puts the quarterback market in a huge dilemma. And, of course, it happens right before, as a Bengals fan, Joe Burrow gets his deal. They're like, oh, if you're willing to pay Deshaun Watson this money guaranteed, how am I not worth it?
Yeah.
The problem with the Browns is, like, I don't know what you do in this situation. It's a disaster. And you're going to eat a chunk of money no matter what happens. And the play is just not showing anything.
You got anything left?
No.
Just on the way out, we'll say thanks for the Astros to win the American League and the over.
And the over on their wins.
We're starting a new segment next. We're gonna rip up our tickets and that we're gonna.
I mean, that's fine, and you can do that, and you can throw it in my face. I can't. I was gonna say Astros April and May was not my fault. The rest of the season, you know, I was trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm gonna
go.
I mean, I thought we were gonna be coming here doing like much more playoff games and doing shows here during the playoffs. I can't believe it was only two games.
They ran into the Tigers.
I mean, and Scooball. I mean,
Gotta tip your cap.
That dude was amazing. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I started watching it more towards the end of this year. That guy was unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, well, enjoy the day. I'm sure it'll be a busy one here, even though the – so we got the Texans, I guess, last question. You mentioned the Commanders game. So are Texans getting the big screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Texans will be the focal point today.
I kind of was hoping the Commanders-Ravens game was going to get the big screen.
I mean, I'm a local. I wish the best for Spencer Rattler. I hope he does well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep that on the small screen.
that makes sense. All right. Thank you, Matt. As always, appreciate it.
No, thank you, guys.
It is the Bullpen Broadcasting Live inside ESPN Bet. LaBurgely Charles.
The Bullpen Live from LaBurge Casino Resort continues. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios with Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
The Bullpen broadcasting live from ESPN Bet at LaBurge Lake Charles. I know Brian, it's time to share.
So, as the
Bears get an interception.
Yeah, no, this is not good, Joe. I'm on full tilt. As Sean said, I didn't have my readers on, and I was trying to game the system while you guys were talking to Matt in this last break. Bears were going into the third quarter break, I think it was second and goal, up by 11. I saw the line was plus 14. They're about to go up to 18, so I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put in Bears minus 14, but accidentally hit the wrong button, and so now I've got Jags plus 14. Go Jags.
So did you... Did you – was it a finger missed the
wrong? I don't know. Okay. I didn't see it until I got I pulled the ticket out. I came here, and I was just looking through them, and I looked down and saw Jags plus 14. It's like, no, that's not what I bet.
They're
and I,
next
my
to
heart,
each other.
My heart sank.
Did you think the Jags are the home team? Because the Bears are the home team.
The Bears are the home team, yeah.
So,
I don't know what happened. I don't have an answer other than buffoonery.
We need to review the tape.
Yeah, we do need to.
It's going
to
be a big week of practice.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's not.
Have any of you ever done that?
No.
Damn it. I knew. I was hoping Joe had, because I know Sean was going to say
think,
no.
I think, I mean,
it's the right answer. Yeah.
I think I have before.
Okay. All right.
But the problem was, I think it worked out for me.
Did it?
I think
you placed the wrong bet, but it came through.
Yeah.
All right, well, go Jags.
Well, Cole Kmet almost scored another touchdown.
Well, so. At least I'm starting Cole Kmet on my fantasy team.
That's true.
So.
All right, so we're gonna start this segment when we're here at LaBurge. Hopefully, when we're here next in November for two shows on the 16th and the 17th, we won't have to even participate.
Hopefully, we won't even have the segment.
Yeah, hopefully this is a one-time thing. But it's time to say goodbye. DJ Moore scored a touchdown. You can just rip that ticket up now.
I'll keep it for posterity.
Just in case we need it for the next time we do a show.
For the kids.
Yeah, in case the next time we're here in November and when we win all of our bets, we need one ticket.
There we go.
Back pocket.
I'll hang on to it.
Time to RIP, rip our bets. So let's see. Right here, I've got a live parlay that I went on last night. Mm. Ohio State, Oregon, over 55.5.
That hit.
That part hit. The other part.
Oh, I just want it for people at home.
You know. Wait, did that hit?
Yes.
Yeah, the over hit.
55.5?
Yeah, the over hit, I think.
Wasn't it 39 to 38? You're right.
But Ohio State lost. And then I had Ohio State minus 3.5.
Right. That part did not win.
That's why.
Did I give you some hope right there?
Yes.
There was momentary hope.
I was like, wait a minute. I forgot which side I lost for a second there. It's early, okay?
No,
the coffee's
right.
still
hey.
Kicking in.
Hey.
So we say goodbye.
Yes.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. your ticket, Joe. It's gone.
See you later.
Mm. May the ashes be reminders of past failure.
Brian?
I'm going to go ahead and go next because mine is the same as Joe. I didn't have the parlay. But I also had Ohio State minus 3.5. And there were times in the game where it looked pretty good, but they fumbled the ball in two big spots. And Will Howard, not that it would have mattered, because they would have kicked the field goal if they had time.
Yeah, Will Howard was setting up for the field goal.
They would have kicked the field goal if they had time remaining. But Will Howard with the most buffoonery I've seen since the Dak. I think it was Dak Prescott against the Packers?
49ers.
Was the 49ers? Okay.
In 2021.
Same situation, though, sliding down with no time left. RIP, my ticket, Ohio State minus 3.5, did not hit.
Mm. I had a pretty good game or a pretty good day
you
yesterday.
You did have a pretty good day yesterday. Right.
I mean, I took the underdog.
I mean, to be fair, I only have one ticket to rip
up. I'm tearing up one, well, now two. Jaguars plus 14.
I also ripped my other tickets last night. That, so, before we decided we were starting
the
segment.
The truth comes out. The truth comes out. So
4-1 in college yesterday. Just saying, if we're patting ourselves on the back.
So the ticket I have to rip up today, like I said, we did rip some tickets yesterday. As is that another touchdown?
Yeah,
is
the DJ Moore one was not a touchdown. So Swift just scored.
Okay. I bet against. Shame on me. I bet against BYU.
Never bet against the Mormons.
I am now 0-2 lifetime against the Mormons. Actually, maybe more if you add in like my
the times you rejected them at your door.
Yeah, my everyday life.
Did a Mormon beat you in basketball once?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. There's probably a Mormon girl that's turned me down.
Jehovah's Witnesses kicked my ass in basketball one time. That's a story. That's a story for another day. And broke my nose.
That might be a story for, like, let's rip this
ticket. Anyway, let's get to that one. The one I have to rip today, it's a parlay. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned
here.
Who can say? I also won a parlay as well. Syracuse, -2.5. That hit.
Of course.
Looking good.
Man.
Texas, Oklahoma, -48.5.
That hit.
Really not that
close.
Much of a sweat.
No.
Ole Miss at LSU, -63. That did not hit.
That did not hit, no.
Therefore, I have to, with a heavy heart.
Oh, we got it right up to the microphone. That was well done.
Real producing right there.
Your talent today, Sean.
What do you guys got going on today? So we got
I got Jags plus 14, Joe. Thanks for asking.
Do you want to rip that one right now?
I kind of do. I really
no,
do.
No, don't do it.
I'm not.
I know it's 35-10, but just
I know. I know. I know.
That's a Bears fan talking, by the way.
I'm not going to.
Who's like, I don't know. They might still lose this.
I'm saying, like, they might get some garbage time touchdowns here.
Okay. I'm not going to, but I really want to.
Doug Peterson, okay.
He's not good.
Any chance they're staying in London for a week. Any chance.
He stays in London permanently?
No, you're going back to Jacksonville. Everyone else is staying here. Any chance they fire Doug while they're in London? That would be an awesome.
I mean, we already had one post-London firing with Robert Saleh and the Jets. I think you just to save on the plane ticket, you just let him coach one more game. What's the harm? I guess the harm is that he wins.
Shad Khan did give the sometimes
dreaded vote of confidence
to everybody involved, Trent Baalke, the GM, and Doug Peterson, the head coach. So, yeah, I don't think it's this week, but
if they lose to Drake May next week, it's over.
I would say right now
that's Doug, who they play.
Someone else coaching in Jacksonville next year is the heavy betting favorite, but I don't think it's this week.
Is it bad for the Texans? Like, does it really matter? Because like, it's Jacksonville.
No, aren't they 1-4?
No, I mean for like next year.
Oh,
no. It's.
Does it change the quarterback? If it doesn't change the quarterback, I don't think it matters.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Bill Belichick in 2025.
I'm not really either.
Honestly, you can make there is just an air of respectability that he'll bring to the
He hasn't drafted well though. I mean, there was a lot of Tom Brady putting Band-Aids on his bad draft picks.
Yeah, I just mean more of like the dumb stuff in game. Like they'll become a much better in-game product as opposed to like the talent acquisition. Like that's more of a long-term thing than just 2025.
I realize I do have one more ticket to tear up.
Oh no.
Well, one part of this was good. It was a parlay, which I made the mistake.
That's so weird.
It's the vicious
circle.
It's
so weird that we all lost the parlay.
It's the vicious circle. Bears -4.
Looking good.
Great. Under 35 is
Bears have 35.
Is an RIP to this take. Hold on, Sean.
Yeah.
There we go. Right up against
the
microphone.
Think of the listeners.
The only thing I have left today right now, at least, and that might change here at some point.
Of course, it's going to change.
Parlay.
Yeah. What a shocker. You're tearing up a parlay?
This is not a tear.
Oh, you're going to place another one.
No, this is just what I have left for today.
Let's talk about what we have left.
I have a win for half my parlay, so I'm one of two. I'm halfway there.
What is it?
Bears money line.
You're good.
Let's not count our money.
You're good.
I think we're okay.
You're good.
Texans minus 7.
And by the way, it's back down to 6.5.
Is it back down to 6.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I want a little Bears Texans action.
I've actually got a parlay too.
Hey guys, if you're listening, don't listen to us.
It's a vicious circle.
Should I go through my
We're here to entertain ourselves.
Yeah,
and have
this is
fun.
Entertainment only.
We're not here to make
you
like
money. These stocks, but we're not financial experts. Yeah. You should not take this advice.
And past performance does not indicate future results.
Yes, exactly.
I also have a parlay in the NFL games. It's anytime touchdown scores.
Okay, see, I like this.
This is going to be fun because you're live the whole day. You're live the entire early window at least.
I'm so live. And then maybe not at the end. Stephon Diggs, anytime.
Like it?
Find the end zone.
So it is Diggs, not Tank Dell.
It is Diggs.
Okay.
What I did was I'm doing a little bit of a fading fantasy
Are you emotionally hedging your fantasy team?
Not emotionally hedging, just
Are these all big players on your opponent's team?
And then I'm starting Dell.
Okay.
And I don't have Diggs, so no way Dell scores a touchdown. Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown. Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown. Chris Olave, who I'm going up against in fantasy, anytime touchdown.
I like most of those. Chris Olave.
I'll take that.
I don't trust him.
But I am going against him in fantasy.
Yes, it's an emotional
hedge. He's going to score 38
right,
points.
Yeah, the logic is sound there. I've got a couple. I've got Texans minus 6.5. I was able to get it down at the lower line. I'm going with our man Lee Sterling. He gave this out to the Killer Bees on Thursday. Washington, he had it at actually Washington plus 6, and now Washington plus 6.5, so I went ahead and jumped on that.
Okay.
I unfortunately still have Jags plus 14. And then I put a why the hell not a parlay on a bunch of big home favorites. Well, actually, not every team's at home, but big favorites on all on the money line. I've got this is dumb. This is dumb. I fully admit up front, dumb. But Packers, Eagles, Texans, Ravens, all on the money line in a parlay.
Okay. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We're broadcasting live inside
Go
ESPN
Jags.
Bet. At LaBerge, Lake Charles, they are driving a little bit. They just crossed the 50-yard line.
I'm going to need more than one, Joe.
When we get back, we'll talk about some of the college football action and some more Texans as well. It's the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.